Have you ever had this happen before? Someone you know well, a friend, a family member, or a colleague, refers a potential client to another estate planning attorney, someone besides you. And then when you ask them why, they say, well, I didn't know you did that.
That was Mark Powers, and I'm Sean McNallis with Atticus, and we're here to talk about the Laser Talk, asset number 4 in the Rainmakers program. More information about the Laser Talk can be found behind tab number 4 in your Quick Start Kit. So if you have it handy, go ahead and open it up and follow along as we discuss this very important asset.
And if you don't have it with you, we'll go ahead and work through it, and then you can refer to it later on because you may be in your car listening to this. So, Sean, let's go ahead and set a little bit of context for the Laser Talk before we get right into it.
Okay.
So in the Rainmakers program, there are 21 assets and 5 habits that you're working on. And we know that assets are like assets in your financial life, marketing assets you collect, and they build marketing wealth. And there are 21 of them. And as Sean said, this is asset number 4. And today, we're going to discuss how you build and use a Laser Talk. So one question might be, what's a Laser Talk? And I think most people on this call know what it is, but it's a brief but powerful introductory statement that helps educate your referral sources to the types of clients that you work with, the type of problems that you deal with and solve, and perhaps what's unique about what you do. So it is a very strategic conversation, one that's rehearsed and one that's developed over time. It's very straightforward, and it's educational as well. And by the way, don't worry, we call it the Laser Talk. It doesn't mean we're going to speak at the speed of light in doing this. And notice that we didn't call it the Light Bulb Talk, which when we say laser, it just means that it's very focused. It's not diffused. It's a conversational strategy that every estate planning attorney needs to be familiar with. And, Sean, you know, sometimes it reminds me in the movie industry, the book industry, similar to what they call an elevator pitch. And
right.
An elevator, yeah. And do you know why it's called that?
Well, I've heard that you have to be able to engage an agent or sort of pitch your idea in the time it takes for sort of a quick elevator ride.
Absolutely. And so an attorney's Laser Talk must convey an engaging, and I think that's an important part of it, engaging information about their practice in a very few well-rehearsed sentences.
Makes sense. Well, let me open up the discussion by asking, what's the one thing you want the Rainmakers in the audience to take out of this discussion?
Well, I think part of it is that traditionally, as estate planners, we don't do a very good job of educating our referrals about what we do. As a matter of fact, when they ask us what we do is we tell them who we are. So someone asks you what you do, and they say, well, I'm an attorney. I'm an estate planning attorney. And it really hasn't told them what we do, and it really hasn't engaged them. You know, it's sort of like the you'll go to a party or a social event and someone will ask you what you do and you tell them you're an estate planning attorney and they say, that's nice. And then they make a beeline to the cheese dip. They're not really interested. We haven't engaged them. So at first glance, the Laser Talk is seems like nothing more than a brief description of what we do for a living in response to the question, what do you do? And that's asked 100 times in an estate planner's lifetime. So it really makes sense that we get it down, we get it well, and we learn to engage people. So I said that at first cut, it looks like just a brief description of what we do, but it's truly much more than that. If we think about it, Sean, the Laser Talk is a miniature marketing plan. As a matter of fact, it's the seed of all of our marketing efforts because it forces us, as we develop it and if we do it well, to identify who our target market is, who we're going to be speaking to as clients and referral sources. It forces us to articulate the benefits and the services that we provide them. And it can also highlight what's unique about us. And in a way that helps build rapport and build relationship. So the conversation, when we work on it in the segment, is deceptively simple in its appearance. But the amount, the elements of it are very powerful because they help you develop your marketing plan. From matter of fact, I actually wouldn't encourage an estate planner to build a brochure, a website, a marketing piece until they truly understand their laser talk, because it's the seed of all other marketing. So in this segment, we're going to build that laser talk, and we're going to share some examples of others and how they do it. But I will say this, if the laser talk is built well, if it's built properly, it will be built from the client's perspective. And what I mean by that, Sean, is we'll put ourselves in our client's shoes and think of their problems, their benefits, their concerns, and we'll think the laser talk through from their perspective. Secondly, we will probably have more than one laser talk.
So if you're talking to a potential referral source, your laser talk might be built from their point of view as opposed to just the client's point of view?
Yeah, and I might have a couple because I might have different practice areas. So I might do, in addition to estate planning, I might have another practice area and I would have it for that. Or I might have one for the firm in general and one for me individually.
So lots of variations on the theme here.
There is. But I think mostly, if it's done well, it will educate, it will inform. But I think just as important in all that as all of that, it will generate interest in what we do. And I want to put one caveat, Sean, before we go to the next question
mm-hmm.
on this and we talk about it, is that the laser talk is never going to be used, well, let me rephrase that. It's not always used just the way that we're going to share it on this call. What will happen over time is they'll use pieces of it. And if they're in front of a large group, they may use the whole thing. But often they're going to use pieces of it. But it has to be put together just as we do it on this call to get it really well.
Okay, so we practice it. We do it in a formal basis, sort of. We create a formal talk originally, but then we make it more, we make it less formal, so to speak, and we might break it up and use different elements of it and shift it back and forth in when we actually go to use it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, talk to us about how Rainmaker actually claims this as an asset. How can they say that they've actually mastered this asset?
Well, to capture this as an asset, they will have to have the script we're working through, and they'll have to have practiced it. And then they'll have to use their laser talk at least 10 times to get it down, and then I would say regularly. So they will have to write the script out, rehearse it, and then go use it out in the public at least 10 times to start to get it down. And then they can use it more regularly. Then they can claim it as an asset.
Okay. And who should use the laser talk? Is it for everyone in the firm?
Well, yes, I think it is, Sean. I think that the estate planning attorneys should have it themselves. I think that if they have anyone, marketing assistants or assistants, they should all know it. And everyone on staff, because actually our staff helps us with our marketing, and they also want to know what the theme or the focus of our marketing is. So I actually think it's especially for the estate planner, but it's for everyone in the firm.
Can you tell that passing parade story? I think that's particularly instructive when it comes to the laser talk.
Yeah. Well, I like to, that's a good story, Sean. I like to talk about the laser talk in a way that it's supposed to help the referral source or the client know that we work with them and that we can help with them. So the way to imagine the laser talk is imagine yourself on a bandstand, and there's a passing parade, and there's all sorts of people in the parade. Some of them are your potential clients, some of them are potential referral sources, but many of them aren't. The vast majority of them aren't. And we want to speak our laser talk in such a way that the people that we're trying to work with will turn their heads and know we're talking to them. And so if it's done well, we'll say our laser talk. And, for example, you may, in your estate planning practice, work with a lot of business attorneys and focus on them. Excuse me, business people or business owners. And if I was to say my laser talk, I work with business owners. So you've usually got the attention of those people to turn their heads. Everyone else will keep on marching. So the laser talk has to operate in that fashion. So as you said earlier, Sean, we're probably going to have several laser talks because, you know, there's going to be different targets that you're going to be working with. And you're also going to have different settings and family, social, professional gatherings where we're going to sort of what you would call plant that reliable seed for potential future referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So more than likely, you'll never use this laser talk just the way we're going to go through it, as we said earlier. But it's important to get it down the way that we go through it because it identifies who you're going to work with, what types of clients we best serve, how you best help them, and what's unique about your practice.
So being really clear about that and also being memorable, saying it in a memorable way, is really important because, you know, we coach on word-of-mouth marketing. And, you know, whether you recognize it or not, each one of you is part of the vast marketplace, you know, really competing for business. And everyone should want their message to stand out. When you're in a word-of-mouth marketing program, the laser talk is like your billboard. It's like your commercial.
That's so important, Sean. In the current climate, and you think about the increased competition for estate planners. As a matter of fact, think about this for a second. In 1968, there were about 168 licensed attorneys in this country. In
168,000.
I'm sorry, what did I say?
168,000.
Yeah, well, we've jumped a lot.
Yeah.
So in 1968, there were 168,000. In 1980, that number jumped up to over 860,000. By the year 2000, we went over 1 million. I think we're at 1.2 or a little over 1.2 million right now. And we graduate somewhere in the range of 42,000 law students every single year. And also think about this for a minute. That every practice area that gets in trouble, whether under attack economically or politically, so if we think about real estate attorneys and some litigators, a lot of them move into the estate planning area because it's a fairly good constant for a lot of them. So being memorable should not be underestimated. And not unlike some products that rely on branding to communicate their message and attract their marketplace or attract successful referral sources in this case, which we have to say things that people have to remember us so that they want to use our services and tell others about us. So do you ever go to an event and have one, you know, that I've said this before, you go to an event and you say something about yourself and people don't notice. And so unless we can give them something memorable and that stands out and help them help us, we're not going to be very good at this marketing thing.
So the laser talk is sort of like a verbal form of branding, is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's an important part of the word-of-mouth marketing program that depends on relationship building, rapport building, and top-of-mind awareness to be successful. You know, people go to estate planning attorneys to have them help solve their problems, usually the kind of problems that affect them deeply or weigh down on them or have them worry. And smart estate planners recognize that they recognize and understand the real wishes of their clients and design their laser phrases, their laser talk to speak to their clients' needs.
Well, tell us the formula behind the laser talk.
Okay, let's go through it. And so everyone that's listening to this segment, there's two things. I'm going to ask you to either, if you're in a place you can, write down this script I give you, and we're going to fill in the blanks. And for those of you that have your workbook, your Quick Start Kit handy, you can open it up to asset number 4, and you can work through it with us. So the laser talk is scripted this way, and I write it down, if you will, and it goes, I work with. And then I want you to put a blank line. The next part of the script goes, in their desire to, and put another blank line. Now, in a moment, I'll give you what we're going to fill in those blank lines. So it goes, I work with, blank line, in their desire to, blank line, by means of, another blank line. And then finally, what's unique about my practice is blank line. So I'll say that one more time. I work with, and I want you to put down a blank line, in their desire to, another blank line, by means of, another blank line. And what's unique about my practice is, and that gets another blank line. So we're going to fill in each of those blank lines, and this will make up your laser talk. So what goes in the first blank line is a specific description of your client. In the second blank line goes the benefit statement. How we solve, if we solve the client's problem, what will it mean to them? In the third blank line, which follows by means of, goes how we get that benefit. So the feature or how we do the work that gets the benefit. And finally, in what's unique about my practice, we want to put in something that is something that helps us be more like the client. I'll explain each of these. But when we look at what's unique, we're talking about an opportunity to connect to the client, because marketing is about about relationship and rapport. And we want to make put something that helps the client see we're like them. So I'm going to walk you through each of these steps, and I want you to remember that you'll rarely use it just the way we create it, and you'll always want to know who you're talking to when you give your laser talk.
So you can shift it one way or the other to appeal more to a referral source, to appeal more to a potential client, that sort of thing. Okay. Why don't you give us an example of a completed laser talk?
Well, I'll give you mine. That's an easy one to do because it, just so you can see an example of it. So I work with successful estate planners in their desire to increase their income, decrease their stress, and take better care of their clients. And I do it through a particular program called the Rainmakers Program. And in the Rainmakers Program, we're designed to help them find better, higher value clients. I think what's unique about Atticus is its owner, or its founder, one of its founders, moi, is not an attorney. And we say that because if I was, we would have created the same crud that you've had for the last 20 years that have kept you stuck. Instead, we've created something that puts you in the driver's seat, gives you more control, gives you more freedom. So you can see that's not so, that's really articulating a lot of things in there. But I would rarely use all of those. I would use pieces of them when I'm speaking to different estate planning attorneys. Does that make sense, Sean?
That makes sense. And I just want to let everyone know we're going to give you a wide range of examples of what different estate planning attorneys might say and do say. And we do this because hearing what other people say might really spark an idea that you can use in your practice.
Yeah, so let's do this. Let's go ahead and talk about the target client, the specific description of the client. And what I would want each person to do is a little bit more research on this, because if we don't know who our target client is, it's hard to get ourselves in their shoes to understand the problems that they have and how we solve them, those sort of things. So, you know, when I say research the client, make sure we understand their demographics a little bit better, understand their psychographics. So the demographics are their age, their incomes, their assets, those sort of things. The psychographics are their frustrations, their concerns, their problems, their wants, their desires, those sort of things. And it's very helpful to know that. But again, to know that, you have to know who your target client is. So with an estate planner, sometimes you're looking to make sure you can identify them as best you can, because you could work with a wide range of people. So I work with professionals, I work with individuals, I work with high net worth individuals, I work with people that are committed to protecting their wealth, I work with business owners, those sort of things, whoever your target market is. And by the way, the target market in my laser talk shift, if I'm speaking to a group of business owners, and I'm going to say business owners. If I'm speaking to a general group, say a chamber of commerce, or a social group, I would keep it more open. I work with high net individuals. I work with successful professionals, those sort of things.
Okay.
Oh, Sean, one caveat there
is
we've got to be careful because I don't want people to use institutions there. You know, I will hear people say, I work with businesses.
And you want them to say, I work with business owners. You want them to personalize it.
Yes.
Okay. Or I work with the owners of family-run businesses, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay. So now you sort of, you've given us who you work with. Now let's talk about parts 2 and 3 of the script, which deal with the features and the benefits. First of all, can you sort of explain the difference between a feature and a benefit and how we use it in this case?
I can, and I want to give one other caveat. I'm probably throwing in a lot of caveats, but Sean, one of the things we want to do also in this laser talk is strip out any legalese. When we're speaking to our target market, we want to make it very simple, very straightforward, and so that almost anyone could understand it. Now, when we're speaking to other attorneys who are often our referral sources, anyone that's using laser talk can feel free to ratchet up the language and be secure in the knowledge that they'll be understood by other attorneys. But when we work through this, we're working through it mostly for non-attorneys.
Okay, great.
So part two, we said, so I work with, we're getting a specific description of the client. I really want you to hone that as best you can. And by the way, when you get it well, when you get it done well, and you'll use it for quite a while before this happens, it's going to go thud or clunk, if you know what I mean. It's just going to hit. And you'll know it's going to hit by how the listener perceives it. They're going to light up. They're going to get it very quickly. So we got who we talked to. The next thing is in their desire to. And I said that's the benefit statement. And it's really what clients, after we do the work, say that they got from the work we do. So I'll give an example, Sean. When anyone thinks, and I'm going to take a non-legal example because it's very easy to get. Auto industry spends billions of dollars branding their market, so people will think a certain thing when they hear their car's name. For example, when I say Volvo, what do you think of?
Safety.
Safety. And that's what Volvo wants you to think. And if you look at what Volvo's doing, they're not selling the features of the cars. They're presenting those features. So the features would be the airbags, the steel-reinforced frame of the car.
Seat belts,
all of these safety features. Those are all the features. What they're selling is saving lives. And their target market is usually dual-income professionals who have got to a certain place in their life, and they want to make sure they protect that and they don't lose that. So they don't want to have their family harmed. So what they're selling is saving lives, safety. How you get that is steel-reinforced frames, airbags, side airbags, those sort of things. And so when it comes to estate planning, the benefit the client gets is whatever the feature provides them. So if I provide them a great trust or a will, or we service them through probate, what does it really mean to the client when all of that is complete? That's the benefit statement. So I've heard some estate planners in the benefit statement say things like, I work with successful professionals who want to protect the wealth they've built and pass it on to their children. Or I work with high net worth individuals with complex estate planning needs that don't want to, let me rephrase that, that want to ensure that they build a legacy, a family legacy or a business legacy. I work with individuals who don't want to outlive their money. So if we built the trust, what they really wanted is they want to make sure they have money into their elder years, or they want to protect a loved one that may be having some medical issues. those are the things that they're really looking for. They're not looking for the trust. They're not coming to us necessarily for the trust. Those are the features. Does that make sense, Sean?
It does make sense.
And so how I get that, I'm sorry, Sean, and by means of crafting well-built trust or estates or building in various guidance and direction that helps them protect that money. Whatever the tools are we're doing, those are the features that we can lay out there. But it's not really what they're buying. They're buying the benefit.
And that benefit might be the emotional satisfaction, the peace of mind, the confidence. It's just that benefit usually lives on sort of more of an emotional level.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Okay. So let's talk about the fourth element. The sentence stem was, what is unique about me or my firm is?
Well, this is an interesting one because we know that marketing is about building trust and relationship and rapport. And if you think about it for a moment, people like to work with people they like. And they tend to like people that are like them, that have shared similar life experiences. And so I'm going to take something outside of estate planning for a minute. But we have family law attorneys that have gone through divorces, and they don't want the client to know it. But that's exactly what they should be telling the client, because the client can relate to them. So I think for the family law attorney, what's unique about me is I actually went through a divorce, and I know the pain, and I know the financial distress, and I know that how it can take take time and energy out of your life, distract you. I know how it can affect the kids. So for the client, they're like me, or the business owner that says, you know what's unique about my practice is that although I'm an attorney, I'm a business owner as well. Or the criminal law attorney, and these are all true, criminal law attorney who said, you know what's unique about me? When I was a young man, I was arrested, and it scared the daylights out of me. And if there wasn't for one attorney who stood up and took care of me and guided me through the way, I wouldn't be where I am today. So for the estate planner, it gives us an opportunity to talk about two things, either what makes us like the client, similar to them, or it also helps to us to put what we might perceive as a weakness and put it on the table as a strength. And so we have estate planners sometimes that are young, and they don't want their referral sources and clients to know they're young, which is crazy because it's written all over them. So what becomes unique about them is their youth. What's unique about me is really my youth. And I mean that because I've got energy and drive to work on these things like nobody's business. And I think that's why people like to work with me. Or I have attorneys in their late 60s that really don't want people to know they're in their late 60s and think it's a deficit, when in fact it's a strength and we want to present it. So what's unique about me is I've been practicing in this town over 45 years, and I know I've dealt with every attorney in town. I've dealt with most income levels, most people that have had these kind of problems, and I've seen it all. So those are the things that we get to do. And I want, when you go for what's unique about you, stay away from I am fast, quick, quality work. Those don't really distinguish you that well, and they don't help the client relate to you or even the referral source relate to you.
So stay away from the cliched type phrases like we deliver high quality client service, that sort of thing. A little too cliched.
Yeah, so, you know, it's okay to say things. I think what's unique about us is that we have been in this town for 45, 50 years, if that's so. We grew up in this town. We know the people. We know the system. I think what's unique about us is that we have, I have a dad and a mom that we have had to bring through an estate planning process, because if this is true, by the way, you never make any of this up. It's all based on authentic information. But if I've had families that have had Alzheimer's or incapacitated and we've had to set up trusts to protect them, that helps people relate to you. So I think those are helpful, Sean.
Okay. Could I also say what's unique about me is I belong to, you know, this group of attorneys called the Wealth Council, and they provide me with, you know, specialized training in the area of estate planning.
Yeah, I think one of the things you can do is that one of the things unique about me is I'm a Wealth Council attorney. That's a very good one, Sean.
You know, it helps the branding. It becomes part of the brand, so I think it should be featured. And, you know, what's unique about me is I'm a business owner, just like many of my clients are business owner. Or I'm the attorney's attorney. You know, when my colleagues need estate planning, you know, they turn to me. So there's a lot of different ways you can go with this. And in the retail world, we would call this a USP, a unique selling point. And it's really a way to differentiate yourself and become more memorable in the eyes of your clients.
Yep, absolutely.
So how do you put this all together? We've talked about the individual elements now. How do you put it all together?
Well, once you've identified your specific client, you know your benefits, you know the features and how you do it, you know what's unique, and you put the spin on the phrases and tie them together and write them out first. And you're going to have to do this a couple of times because nothing you write down is in concrete. It's you're going to work through it a couple of times until it starts to sound natural, and that it can be done in no more than 30 seconds. And when you can do that, you're on the first, sort of the first leg of pulling this together. When the talk is finally constructed, the laser talk is finally constructed, don't worry about making it form exactly to the formula. You'll be able to shift the statements a little bit. But I guess after a little while, I do want you to practice it in the formula phase. But after that, you'll be able to pull it apart, deconstruct it, and use pieces of it. You know, at some point, you're going to find that you're going to get comfortable with the language, and it's just going to click for you. Not only will it fit the audience, but you'll find that you'll start to have ease in saying the phrases. So it will be uncomfortable at first. We're going to have to practice it, and we're going to give you some accountability in practicing the laser talk so we can claim this as an asset. But once you do that, it's going to start fitting for you and be more appropriate for you.
Do you have some samples?
Yeah. So it might be, I work with high net individuals. With
high net worth?
Yes, high net worth individuals with complex financial situations. To help them protect their wealth and pass it on to their children intact. I think what's unique about me is that in addition to being an estate planning attorney, I'm also a CPA. And that really helps my clients maximize their assets during this process. Or I work with families who own their own businesses and want to protect what they've built. And in a lot of ways, I practice preventive law. And I can save people time, money, and emotional grief by preventing the problems before they happen. So those are some of the things, Sean, that that I've heard out there.
Okay. I know one of my clients has one where he says, I help the sandwich generation, the sons and the daughters of elderly parents who are trying to do what's best for them. And what's unique about me is that I have elderly parents myself who need my help, and I know how difficult some of these decisions can be. So, Mark, if people have more than one practice area, how do they handle that?
Well, you want to develop two or three laser talks and practice them. And again, when we go out into the community and we're in social settings or professional settings, we never come in and say, hi, my name is Mark Powers. I work with successful attorneys, that sort of thing. What we're doing is listening first. We're trying to find out who we're talking to so that we can speak the laser talk properly to them. But we're finding out who they do. So it's best to be an inquisitor. It's best to ask questions first and find out what people do. And after a while in social settings, they're going to say, so Sean, what do you do? And I want you to respond with what you can of your laser talk, or find something that, we'll talk about this in a moment, you might give them a more provocative statement that gets them to say, you do what? Or forces them to ask you a little bit more about what you do. We want to really engage people. So I think you'll develop a couple of them, and you'll modify them over time.
Okay. Well, let's go back to this provocative opening statement that you were talking about. Can you give us some examples of that, and why are they? Why should they, these be interesting to us?
Yes. we've talked about the laser talk, so I want you to think about these, if you're listening to this segment, I want you to think about these as laser phrases, provocative statements that can engage the listener and have them ask more about what you do, sort of just to get the perk their interest, sort of like the elevator pitch. You want to make sure there's something you say first that gets the person interested. We're just not speaking over their interest. So we're going to use language that will create top-of-mind awareness, an engaging, well-spoken, something that can really get the passion going. So instead of the attorney pinpointing their laser phrase, I want them to think about something that says more than just, I'm an estate planning attorney. I'm an elder law attorney. We want to say something. For example, this is an interesting one. I had a commercial litigator that does construction law. Now, think about this. His target market is construction business owners. So people that work in that industry. And people said, what do you do? He said, I'm a hard hat lawyer. And they said, hard hat lawyer. Now, remember that example we said about sitting on the
parade grounds?
Yeah, the parade grounds, where you're sitting on the bleachers and the parade's walking by. If you know, you say, what do you do? I'm a hard hat lawyer. Anybody that works in that industry, construction, is going to look. So you want to find something that works with the target market.
If you're a business attorney or you're an estate planning attorney who works a lot with business, family-owned businesses, saying something like, I'm the businessman's friend, is more interesting than I'm an estate planning attorney. Or if you're an elder law attorney and you say something like, I work with the sandwich generation, it's more memorable, more interesting, more provocative. A thing to say, and that's important when you're marketing.
Well, you know, and it's a tricky thing, and we also probably in a minute should put a caveat here, because the bar, depending on where you are, the bar will have some issues about this, especially if you're doing any advertising, because they're just different in every state. But when you're speaking it, it's just designed to get their attention. I had one attorney, and listen, when I say these things, if you're listening to this segment, you might not say this yourself, and you may not even like it, but it works for them, and it generates interest. I have an estate planning attorney that people ask him, what do you do? And he goes, I'm the teddy bear lawyer. The teddy bear lawyer? People say, what do you mean by the teddy bear lawyer? And he goes, well, I work with, and he goes into it, it gives him a chance to go into his laser talk. I have someone that says, I'm a legal aspirin. A legal aspirin? What do you mean by that? That's all I want, is in this provocative statement, I want to generate some interest without being insulting. And I want to give something quick. So on this call, I'd like you to work, those if you're listening to this call, work on what's your laser phrase. Now, to do it, I want you to do your laser talk first and come back and work on the laser phrase. That make sense, Sean?
It does. Tell us again how the listeners can officially claim the laser talk as an asset that they have acquired.
Well, go back and follow the script that we built. Go into your quick start kit and write it out. And you're going to have to block out some time for this. One of the things I'd like you to do with your resource assistant in the Rainmakers program, I want you to pick this as one of the assets you'll work on in a given month. And then I want you to take time that month to write out what your laser script is. And I promise you, you won't like it at first. It'll take a little while for you to get it down. And play with it, write it down, speak it to someone else, speak it to your resource assistant, speak it to me on our coaching calls. But work through it. And then I want you to practice it. I want you to go out into the world, and I want you to practice it. Be uncomfortable with it. Practice piece of it. And practice your laser phrase, your provocative statement as well, and see what their reaction is. Does it get people's interest? And I want you to practice this at least 10 times and then start using it regularly. And if you can do that, you can claim it as an asset.
So what's the first step if somebody wants to get started with this?
As we just said, come up with the phrases, go through this process, and then I would pick people that we're comfortable with. Now, when I say comfortable with, there are referral sources that you know well that you might practice this on. There are some clients that you feel more comfortable with, that your social situations that you feel more comfortable with, that you practice in. Start in the warm places first. And then as you get more proficient, you'll feel comfortable working in those places where you don't have that strong rapport, people that know you as well. But by then, you'll have it down and it'll work well. So the key is get started, try it, write it out, practice it, and use it with your warm leads. Practice the laser phrase. And I think those are good starts, Sean.
Well, thank you, Mark, for discussing this very important part of the rainmaking process, asset number 4, the laser talk. And as always, we are Sean McNallis and Mark Powers, co-founders of Atticus, and we're dedicated to helping you grow your practice. Thanks for joining us.